Chris, count down the number of people in the past 2 weeks that have been sick in the Kinney household.
Wait, how many kids does he have again? One, two, three. All right, I think I got it. Four, three, two, one.
Now the story of an eclectic fan base who lost touch with reality and the one podcast that somehow holds them all together. It's the Substandard Expanded Universe.
Welcome to the SSEU podcast and this Christmas special, which I don't believe that we did one last year, but we are doing one this year. It is one of our most downloaded episodes, one of our most appreciated episodes, is the one where we had Jason Cooper on to discuss, I don't even remember, I just refer to it as the furry Christmas movie. What was it called?
That's a great question.
It was like, what was that? It was. What was that?
Pottersville.
Pottersville.
Pottersville. Welcome there to Pottersville.
Well.
Next stop, Pottersville.
And that was a terrific Christmas movie. We have another amazing Christmas movie that we're going to. I'm not sure "amazing" was the right word. That we are going to talk about today, and we have a lot of things to say. But before we get to that, I guess we should talk about Christmas. Chris, how are you celebrating spending your Christmas?
How am I celebrating spending my Christmas?
How are you spending your Christmas?
Give me a minute to understand the question.
Where are you spending your Christmas and how?
Oh, I'll be in the great state of Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, I won't be in Beaver County on Christmas Day, but I'll be there on the 23rd and on a little bit of Christmas Eve. So I will wave to our good friend Tanya as we pass through. Okay. And then I'll be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on Christmas Day.
Lancaster?
Yes. It is east of Philadelphia, about an hour.
No universities in Lancaster?
There's one. What's it called? Franklin and Marshall University. There's Lancaster Bible College. Franklin, it is Pennsylvania Marshall. Amish country. When people say, you know, in New York City, they're going to Pennsylvania Dutch country or Amish country, that's where they're going, to this quaint old town with outlet mall and Dutch Wonderland. And
I'm sorry. What, Dutch Wonderland?
Oh, it's amazing. It's a theme park based on, well, not Dutch. I think Pennsylvania Dutch. I don't know, heritage. It's funny. It looks really crummy, but if you have kids 5 and under, it's actually pretty great. But like for years, I'd drive by and be like, that looks really terrible. Like just it looks like a really run down kind of, maybe its peak was like 30 years ago, theme park.
But in my mind, anything between Pittsburgh and Philly, with the exception of what's it called? Happy Valley State College? Is that what it is?
State College, yeah. Our good friend Ben went to college. Yeah, Ben.
Yeah. So Ben Parker. except for these three places, I imagine that the place is just packed with Amish and there's nothing else there.
Oh no. No, it's Pittsburgh and Philadelphia with Alabama in between is really what it is.
Right? Exactly. And then you make
it's not Amish, Alabama. Yeah.
You make some chocolate somewhere too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right outside of Lancaster, actually. It's a holiday tradition to go to Hershey's Chocolate World.
Really? That's a thing?
It's a thing.
Mm. You know what I rewatched the other day? Because I was really bored and I was trying to find something Christmassy to get me in the spirit to watch. I ended up watching the, can it be 2005 Willy Wonka movie?
Okay. It's Johnny Depp.
Yeah, the Depp Willy Wonka.
Why would that get you in the mood for Christmas? Does it take place around Christmas?
It was, I clicked, it had a category called Christmas movies, and I clicked, and it was in there. It was right next to Elf. And I was like, okay, well, I hate Elf because it's garbage. So I'll watch this other one.
And was there Christmas anywhere there in the movie? Like, does he get the winning bar maybe for Christmas? Is that what it is?
I don't think so. I think there might be less Christmas in that than there is in Die Hard 1.
Okay. So it's just like people eat chocolate at Christmas, right? Right. So what do you think about, I don't think I've ever seen it. What do you think about Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka? His portrayal of the titular character.
Well, it's better than Timothée Chalamet's, for sure.
So he doesn't just do Jack Sparrow?
Johnny Depp has like two modes, like two gears that he can switch into. One is the Jack Sparrow, Native American Jack Sparrow mode.
Okay.
And the other is, I don't know, just this enigmatic, probably depressed character.
Quirky, but potentially like I might go off myself if like don't let me be alone during the holidays because
what's the character called? As it feels a lot like his character in Alice in Wonderland.
I've heard that they're like the, yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, and it's like he doesn't actually do that many characters, but he does, I don't know, a couple, maybe three really well, and then he fits them into as many movies as possible.
Like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is like kind of like the same kind of acting.
Do you know how old Johnny Depp is today?
Today?
Yeah, today.
Okay, today. I thought you were going to ask how old was he, you know, yesterday. Boy, 47. That's too young.
It's way too young. It's way too young.
57.
It's also slightly too young.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Depp is 60 this year. Or turned 60 this year.
He turned 60 this year. Wow.
Which is like, that's insane. Like, he's like this kind of actor that you've seen in movies all your life.
That's young in Hollywood because like all these guys that we saw when they were in their 20s in the 80s are still, you know, guys like Tom Cruise, and maybe not the 80s, but 80s and 90s, like Tom Cruise, Denzel Washington, Liam Neeson, Nicolas Cage, like all these guys are still kind of acting and really kind of playing parts. They're not like limping around. Like they're not.
How old is Tom Cruise?
61.
How old is Leo DiCaprio?
Oh boy. Is he 50?
63.
49.
Okay. How old is Anna Paquin? There's someone that we think of as young, and it's hard to think of her. How old do you think she is? She's been around though for a while.
Well, is it because she's like she comes in a tiny package, right? Like I don't really know if I've actually seen her in anything except for one of my exes really liked that vampire thing that she was in.
I thought you were a fan of her. I don't know why I thought that.
No, I'm a fan of Anna Kendrick. But she was in what's the vampire True Bloods?
And I don't do vampires, so
but you asked this question, so I assume that she's older than one might think. So I'm gonna say 47.
She's just 41, but
you thought she was a teenager?
I asked because she's still, I don't know, it's hard to picture her as a 40 something, probably because I haven't seen her as a 40 something. I don't know the last thing I saw her in, so
aren't you a 40 something?
I am a 40 something.
All right, I have a first small game to play, and so we've had a lot of fun with cars, and you have both had home field advantage when it comes to guessing how much is a car worth, and we've talked about the specs and so on, and I figured that we would change it up a little bit, and so I thought that we should talk real estate. And we should go by the listed price of an apartment that I pick, but we'll change it up. We'll make this game interactive. So I have zoomed in here on Austin, Texas, and I figured that, well, mainly Ryan, but maybe Chris, if you could pick a neighborhood in Texas, and then we'll pick a property in that neighborhood, and you'll get to guess the listing price.
Crestview.
Press view?
Crestview.
Razor Crest.
Crestview, Florida? No, here we go. Crestview.
Crest toothpaste.
Texas can fuck off. Here we go. Crestview. Crestview is north of downtown Austin. It is north of the university and west of I-35.
West of which university or north of which university? University of Austin?
Okay.
Ryan, tell us about the Crestview neighborhood. I need to get a feel for it.
Oh, it's an old, 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 old neighborhood. It's so old.
And nice or old and run down?
And only the oldest people live there. And the oldest. And then they made all the old people move away. And now only the newest, only the youngest houses live there now. It's all young houses in this old neighborhood.
Young houses?
Mm-hmm. All the old houses died and they smashed them to pieces and they carted them away and buried them in the old house graveyard. And then new houses were born in their place.
Are you describing gentrification or are you describing...
What's that word? What did you just say? Gingerification? No, there's not.
Gingivitis.
Redheads have not moved into this neighborhood. See, all the old houses and old people are gone. And okay. New baby houses now live there. New big baby houses. These baby houses are so big.
I feel very equipped to make an educated guess.
Okay, so I have a range here. I'm going to pick a house that it looks like it is in the upper range. What's the one that I like the look of? No, not that one's ugly. Let's pick this one. Oh, dear.
How dare you say a baby house is ugly?
Okay, so...
Pick a Madison Custom Homes.
What is that?
Ryan's laughing at inside jokes that nobody gets except him.
That's just some people I know.
What is a Madison Custom House?
They build houses in that neighborhood. They build baby houses in that neighborhood.
What I want you to guess is the listed price. So it's not actually what it's going to be sold for. We don't know what that is. But it is the listed price for a house. This house is a single family residence. It says here that it was built in 2023.
That is a baby house.
It sits on an 8,916 square foot lot. The house itself is 500. Is that true? 584 square feet. Does that sound right?
What?
Right.
No. Yes. I'm sorry. 3,416 square
feet. There we go.
That sounds more like a house. Yeah.
That's a big old baby house.
Okay. This is the house. How much do you think it's worth? Do you want more information? Square feet. It says that it has enchanting views.
Enchanting?
Are there enchanting views in...
So it's haunted.
The views. So the next door neighbor's house is.
Oh, all right.
So you're saying the next door neighbor has a nice house?
That takes it down a notch.
Haunted neighbors, okay.
The swimming pool is described in two ways. It has an expansive swimming pool, but the swimming pool is also impressive.
But the house has, so it's not impressive. Ryan, how much is a swimming pool worth? It's expansive and impressive.
Impressive. This isn't
your cousin Billy's above ground pool. This is not.
No. This is an expansive and impressive.
I will read some of the pros here in the ad.
Do they list cons in the ad? Don't worry, we did the work for you.
I'm not saying the 4.5 plush bathrooms.
I didn't say that.
It is 4 beds, 5 baths. So four.
Is it 4.5 or is it 5? Which is it?
You got your one that's just a dumper. It's just one of the bathrooms is just a dumper, no shower.
Right, exactly.
And no number one allowed. Just poops.
Yeah. Also remember that they're plush.
So does that mean carpeted?
Does that mean carpeted bathrooms?
Or does that mean it's got like the toilet seats are padded? The
carpeted countertop sinks, so everything soaks in.
It has a versatile office space, a secluded detached guest suite, and an expansive swimming pool with awe-inspiring panoramic views that accentuate the property's magnificence. Central to this exquisite home is the breathtaking open concept living area, marked by soaring vaulted ceilings and bespoke sliders. What's a bespoke slider?
Like, so it's not just a cheeseburger. It's not just any old cheeseburger.
You can close. You can close off the expansive living space with sliding doors. Is what this, it sounds like.
This realtor discovered thesaurus.com.
Yeah.
These details work in harmony to usher in streams of natural light, creating an ambiance that reveals the enchanting views of the al fresco dining area and the shimmering pool.
Do you know what al fresco means, Thomas?
What's an al fresco dining area?
That's an al fresco. It's an art style?
No, it just means when you eat outside.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, obviously I'm too much of a peasant. The state.
Do you eat your meals inside?
You don't eat al fresco?
The state-of-the-art gourmet kitchen is nothing short of spectacular, outfitted with Monogram's elite appliances, including a
36- Oh, I thought I was going to get my initials in the appliance.
Right.
That's just a brand?
There's some brand called Monogram? I didn't know
that. That's a little misleading.
I know. I thought it was going to say DMRK and all this.
Including a 36-inch built-in French door refrigerator and a 36-inch gas range, this culinary space also boasts a stylish butler pantry, generous counter space, and a welcoming island. I have never felt this badass English as I have trying to read this ad.
So, Thomas, you know I have a large island in my kitchen, right?
Yes.
Would you consider it welcoming, or is it more the hostile variety?
Well, you did put a moat around it.
It didn't shoot lasers at me. It doesn't say anything
It's got a gas stove. Do you guys know that gas stoves are there's a certain type of person that thinks gas stoves are evil, that they're making us all sick?
Well, yeah.
That it's essentially child abuse.
Wasn't there a thing about how the Trump supporters are worried that they're getting rid of our gas stoves for a while?
Yeah.
You can take my guns and my gas stove. I'm not going to, I don't have a gas stove, so.
All right. So I don't know if this will help Ryan or not, since he complained last time that we were in Sioux Falls, but I will give you the street name. It is on Barbara Street.
Barbarous.
Barabbas?
Barabbas Street. Give us
Barabbas Street.
Give us this Barbara. House.
Would you like to see a photo?
I don't need to see a photo. As you listed the amenities, started with a price, but it kept going up because I know how much this would cost here.
I don't think that's close.
No, I'm saying I know what it would cost here. And so, like, I had to keep adding digits. So how are we doing this? I've got mine written down. Ryan, do you want to just say yours? And then I'll show you my final number. I crossed out two.
So just to recap, 4-bedroom, 5-bath, 3,000.
We're not going to go through all those.
16 square foot.
We're not going to go through all those adjectives again.
Monogrammed appliances.
Inviting
monogrammed
island.
Appliances.
Al fresco.
Impressive swimming pool. Okay, Al Ryan, fresco. What do you have?
Enchanting.
1.3 million.
Chris,
so
show yours.
I started much lower, but I ended up at 1.253 million.
Please show what you started out at.
I started at 850. But
okay.
Once I found out about the pool and the 5 bathrooms.
I can rule that Ryan wins. Ryan is the closest, and Ryan is also under. The listed price is 1.995 million.
Woo!
Just under two.
Woo! Wow.
All that for under $2 million.
Which 20 years ago would have, you know, that house, maybe not as nice, but that size would have been something most people could buy. But yeah.
Zillow estimates it at 1.9, but Zillow's Sestimate in April has it at 2.5 million.
So it's gone down.
It has dropped down by half a million.
So, right, it's right time to buy.
Is this a nice neighborhood, Ryan? Like, are people...
You will have like a house like that right next to a house that, you know, was built in like the 1930s. That's, you know, really small, like a two bedroom, one bathroom house could be right next door to that house. So it's
so they're just going in and just tearing those down and replacing them.
Yeah.
There's
not many of those left, but
there's a three bed, two bath right next to it that goes for 600, or the estimate is 600.
Yeah. There's like people like you and me who have like put our heart and soul and lived in that, you know, 1600 square foot house for 20 years, maintained it well. And then someone's going to,
just buy it.
Someone's
just
gonna
to
change
tear it down.
Someone's gonna change our life by giving us like $1 million for it, just so they could tear it down and use the land.
Yes, yeah. That's basically.
And pay 8% interest on it.
Chris, so what did you see about Microsoft?
I don't know. People love competition, and yesterday I learned that there is something called the Microsoft Excel Championship, and it wrapped up in Las Vegas last weekend. Andrew the Annihilator Nagai won his third straight title. He three-peated, guys.
The Annihilator. He's like so good at somebody that's so good at Excel. You know what else he annihilates? All kinds of.
What else does he annihilate?
Cheeseburgers?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's very alliterative. Andrew the Annihilator is an Australian actuary, and he beat 14 opponents in various 30-minute case study challenges. And then, honestly, the clip was not as exciting as I thought it would be, but there was a live stream of announcers like losing their minds.
Wait a second.
How exciting did you think it was going to be?
The Excel Championship wasn't as exciting as you thought.
Tell you what, let's take a look. Okay. Let's see. Share screen.
And to remind you that we're just taking the top four here. So with this elimination, the top four will be moving on to the finals.
These probably was sitting on points. Yep. See, now Jakob, the guy.
Squares here, the cells.
Andrew's shaking his head.
Oh, Michael got
this is the winner.
Points.
This is the annihilator.
40 seconds remaining.
Ooh.
40 seconds
to
go.
So. Okay, this is it. There's no more eliminations. When this is over, it's over. All right, and Andrew Nye, he's looking around. He's taking his headphones off. What is he doing? Okay, is he safe? Is he safe? This is bold. This is bold. Look at him crossing his arms.
He's cocky. No. Oh, man.
The guy is flexing. 19. He's flexing. 18, he's flexing. 16, what is he doing? 15, look at this guy. Look 14, at him. No.
13. 10. 9.
Oh, come on. 8, what is 7? No.
Andrew, nicely done. Hold that up in the air.
Yeah. Oh, he got the tie.
There's an audience. I mean, there's only like 30 people
there. The trophy's nice, but we want to see you wear the belt. Let's hear it. Wear the belt. Wear the belt. Wear the belt. Wear the belt.
So this
we need somebody bigger. There you go. Nice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your champion.
Ladies, which ladies?
Yeah. You don't think there are groupies there?
Yeah, he's probably annihilating all kinds of puss right now.
Actually, seeing it in a video, it's even better than I imagined. Like, that's...
I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it was like, it was actually Excel.
You act like you don't have his collecting
data,
cards,
data
like his
data labeling and pivot tables.
Who doesn't love that? Okay, well, since we are a game podcast, we are now going to transition.
Okay, back by popular demand, our fans could not get enough of it. They've been begging for it. They've been so thirsty for it. Our fans have, and I've been telling them how gross they are for being so thirsty for us to bring this game back.
I have never told anyone that. I just
it's the birthday game. It's the birthday year's game. in Celebrity Edition.
All right, give me a minute. I'll put on, get my birthday suit. All right.
All right, so
I got breakaway pants
November.
Here.
I started this. It was November when I was putting this together. So we're doing November birthdays of celebrities. Wait, from
which year?
From 86 to 1996. And I'm gonna give you a list.
Because I know Anne Hathaway's birthday, but she's born.
Yeah, because the one I did in October, you said that she was in October. You said that she was November, and you knew which year she was born because it was the same as you, which was cheating. No, Anne Hathaway. So I've got these celebrities in alphabetical order. I don't know if you guys want to take them down.
Yes.
I don't know.
Penn Badgley.
Who?
Penn Badgley.
Spell the last name, please.
Spell the first name.
He was on the OC.
Did you say Penn? P-E-N-N.
P-E-N-N. Badgley.
Okay.
B-A-G-L-E-Y.
What did you say? The OC? Okay.
Yeah, he's been in new stuff too. He's in that detective movie where he's the kid detective. That's what it was called.
Penn Badgley?
Yeah.
He's in that movie where he was the kid detective.
And then I remember the name. David Beckham.
He's older than that.
Okay, go on. How many of them?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Fuck you.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, he sucks.
Okay. He's quite young, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should have gone like 75.
No, we're good. Go on. This is hard enough already.
Kendall Jenner.
Well, Chris got this. He knows all the sisters.
Jeffrey Jordan, Michael Jordan's son. Colin Kaepernick. Rita Ora.
Who?
Rita Ora. She's a rapper.
How do you spell that?
O-R-A. R-I-T-A-O-R-A. Rita Ora. Yeah, well, there were some slim pickings. Once I started getting toward, well, I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but the younger they got. John Rahm. Thomason is John Rahm. The golfer.
Who is John Rahm? Oh, golfer.
He's a golfer. Professional golfer. Ty Sheridan. The actor Ty Sheridan.
I do not know who that is.
Once we get to
really stretching the
definition
of.
He's been in some good stuff. Taylor Swift.
I know how old she is.
I do too.
Yeah, I give you an easy one.
Taylor Swift was born in December, by the way. But is that like one? Is that?
Well, I always have to. I've had one that's the wrong.
I know this now because my daughter's a Swiftie and
Jordan
Shailene Woodley.
Okay.
Ooh, that's Is that it?
That's it.
So
Taylor Swift, 1989, right?
She's 34.
I'm not gonna give you the answers. So
she's 34.
Right, her album is 1989. She's born 1989.
Sure.
Is that what that is for?
I thought it came out in 1989.
I thought that was when. Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Okay, so that's what we're doing is we're putting them in order on birth year. So she's 1989.
Yes.
And it's from 1986
to 1996.
1996. Okay, well, I mean, this is going to require a little bit of math. So if they're born in 1996, that would make them. I mean, I know the answer, but I just want to make sure, Thomas, that you're able to do this in your head.
They'd
be 27. Okay.
27.
Okay. And then so they'd be 37 if they're born in 86. Well, yeah. I'll tell you, Colin Kaepernick is super old. He's probably like 87. Is there one each year, Ryan? Is that the?
Yes.
We played this before, Chris.
How would there be more than one each year? It wouldn't be enough. They'd blink.
I have a terrible memory. Odell Beckham is probably 95 or 96.
I don't think he's that young.
How old do you think he is?
Well, he's not that young.
So you think he's like 29?
How long has he been in the NFL?
Not that long.
Okay, can we leave him for a moment? We think he's somewhere there. What about Pete Davidson?
Well, that's tough. I think
Kendall Jenner has to be 96, right?
That she's the youngest?
Probably the youngest.
Well, who is Rita Ora? Ryan, can we get some guidance here? Who is Rita Ora?
Rita Ora, born November 26th, is a British singer-songwriter. She rose to prominence in February 2012 with her single. And she featured on DJ Fresh's single Hot Right Now.
So she rose to prominence in 2012. So
Rita Ora and Kendall Jenner are probably the two youngest, right? So do we pencil Kendall in for 95?
I feel 96? Like Shailene Woodley is also on the younger side, maybe? Or no? When did the Descendants come out? Because she was a teenager in that.
It is somewhere in the 2010s. But the
in November 2020, Ora broke the COVID-19 restrictions by having her birthday party at a West London restaurant during a period of national lockdown.
Wow. She had a birthday party.
I'm going to say, based on Ryan's clue earlier, that she's the youngest. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Ryan said that it was hard to...
She's married to Taika Waititi.
Are you serious?
What?
Which is why she popped up for me. Yeah.
Do you still think she's the youngest?
She's British. She's married to Taika Waititi.
And she's a rapper.
I think he's rubbing a crib.
Because I can give you his age. I don't mind giving you his age.
Yeah,
Taika Waititi is 48. He was born in 1975.
What, Leo. Well, but like Leo only dates people under 25. Like Rita Ora, even if she's at
27.
Least
27. All right. Well, what do you think, Chris?
I think I want to say Kendall Jenner is the youngest, but you know what? I think that I'm probably a year off. So I think she's probably 95.
You know, Waititi is not even his real name. His name is Taika David Cohen.
Yeah.
Waititi is just made up.
But how old do you think Shailene Woodley is?
I think she's under 30, but boy, I could be wrong about that.
I mean, all of these are under 30, so that doesn't...
No, help. They're not.
Not. The ones born in 86?
Only three of them are under 30.
I'm sorry. It's 37 to 27.
Yes. Okay, how about John Rahm? He's old, yes? Has he been on the scene for a while?
He has to be 80-something.
Saying he's 80-something years old?
No, born in like 88. Born in 88?
I thought you were exaggerating. Like, oh, he's super old. Like, he's 80. Taylor Swift, we know, is 89. I have Kaepernick at 87. But he might be 88. But do you think, should we put in John Rahm at 88?
So Colin, how do you spell
Colin 87.
And John Rahm, 88. Who's the oldest?
We're saying Kaepernick is. But I would be happy to flip-flop those.
There's an 86. Who are you putting in 86?
Yeah.
Oh, there's an 86. Ooh. Maybe that's John Rahm. Wait, no, Penn Badgley. He's got to be pretty old.
I still don't even know who that. Can you give us more information?
I mean, the OC is a lifetime ago, and usually, like, he probably played like a teenager, which means he was probably 26 when he filmed that. He's got to be the oldest.
Penn Badgley, he was on Gossip Girl that ran from 2007 to 2012. He was also on the OC. I don't know why that's not what it picks up for his main. He played a teen on the OC, which.
Means he was probably 25 when he filmed that. I say Penn Badgley is 86, Kaepernick 87, Rahm 88, Taylor Swift 89. We think Pete Davidson's pretty young, right?
He's married to Domino Kirkie.
That helps.
Yeah, whatever. Right, so the thing with Pete Davidson, right, is that he has bagged... Didn't he date Demi Moore or someone for a while? Like he's dated older women, right?
Kate Beckinsale...
But the question is...
Ish. Young-ish.
He dated how young? Beckinsale.
So yeah. Do you think 90? 91?
91 would make him 32? He's older than that.
So 90.
Let's put him at 90. Ty Sheridan.
Who is Ty Sheridan?
The most recent thing he was in was Black Files. Black Files.
Okay. All the movies that we love, like Black Files.
He was in Madden 2021.
as the voice of Tommy Matthews.
Okay.
Who's in X-Men Dark Phoenix in 2019 as Cyclops.
I'm sorry, which movies was he in that we love?
He was in Deadpool 2 as Cyclops, uncredited. He was in Ready Player One as Parzival.
That's the main character. Yeah. Okay. Ready Player One is from what? 2018?
2018, yes. He was in three episodes of Last Man Standing with Tim Allen. He was in Mud with Matthew McConaughey as Ellis, who was the son of the titular Mud.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever.
And that was from 2012.
Chris, have you seen Ready Player One?
I have not.
Have you not seen Ready Player One?
So he looks pretty young in that.
I thought we talked about that on this show.
5 years ago, he looked pretty young. So.
But if he was born...
Chris, have you seen the Stanford Prison Experiment?
No, I haven't. I didn't know that they made the Stanford Prison Experiment into a movie.
With Peter Skarsgård, Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this.
Nicholas Braun is in it.
But so the thing is, so if he did
Nicholas Braun, Greg,
Greg,
cousin Greg,
he was in a movie I watched the other day.
Why are you treating me so poorly?
Shut up.
This is just an experiment.
Okay, can you shut up? So 2018, Ready Player One, say that he was born in 1996. That means that he would have been 18 plus 4. He would have been 22 years old. He looks really young in Ready Player
All
One.
Right. 1996. We'll do 96. So we've got Rita Ora, Shailene Woodley, and Jeffrey Jordan. I have no guess for Jeffrey Jordan. So let's just pick what everyone else is. Shailene
Michael
Woodley.
Jordan's oldest son.
Oldest son. Out of how many sons?
Maybe a certain number. Jeffrey Jordan is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
What?
Chris, what year is Michael Jordan born?
Oh, I don't know, but he won his first title probably in 91, 92. So do you think he had a celebratory child?
No.
Jordan has three kids with his first wife, and Jeffrey is the oldest.
So he won his first NBA title when?
It's in the early 90s. It was either 91 or 92. He won three in a row, and then the Rockets won two in a row, and then he came back and won three more. He three-peated twice. He two-peated a three-peat.
All right. So after the first one, let's say that it is spring 91, it takes 9 months because I've studied biology. So that will make it 92. Okay. So 92 is Jeffrey Jordan.
Are we going to say Shailene Woodley? We'll say she's 93.
Is Marcus Jordan, the youngest brother, is dating Larsa Pippen, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Well, that changes everything. We're going to have to start over. No, we're going to go with this, Thomas, because this game needs to be over.
Who did you have for 91, Chris?
Rita Ora. So what was Odell Beckham? I just erased his.
I'm going to put...
him somewhere.
I don't know. Let's put Jeffrey Jordan at 91 because he's Jeffrey Jordan. He's a celebratory baby. Odell Beckham at 92. And then who's left at 93?
Jeffrey Jordan, I thought was 92.
Well, I don't know. I'm just
okay. We'll put him at 91. I think Odell Beckham is way too old, but
92. Sounds good. And 93 is Shailene Woodley. Yeah, that's it. That's everyone.
I shared his 94. I guarantee you Odell Beckham is...
Nah, it's going to be
younger.
Right.
He's not 31.
Okay.
We're done.
You guys have him. You have him written down somewhere?
Yep.
Okay, so you can read your answer and then I can give the correct answer?
Sounds good. Yeah. 1986, Penn Badgley.
1986 is Penn Badgley. It's 1 point.
Crushed it. 1987, Colin Kaepernick.
1987, the original kneeler himself, Colin Kaepernick.
Yes. 1988, John Rahm.
1988 is the brother of...
No!
The guy that's banging Larsa Pippen, Jeffrey Julius Jordan.
So he's not the celebratory baby. Okay.
1988.
Celebrating losing to the Pistons or something. 1990, Pete Davidson.
No,
1989. We got 1989. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. December 13th, 1989.
1990. Pete Davidson.
1990. Taika Waititi's Beau Rita Ora.
I told you she would have had to.
Disgusting as you thought. She's only 15 years younger than him. Should have
been 22 when she hit the scene, not as Thomas thought.
That's unfortunate.
But you didn't suggest 1990 either. So, you know. Okay.
Check the tape. All right. 1991. We know we got it wrong. Who's 1991?
Who do you have?
Jeffrey Jordan.
Shailene Woodley.
Okay.
She acts younger than she really is. Just like you knew Penn Badgley was in his 20s when he played teens, you should have figured that out for Shailene Woodley.
So far, we have 3 right and 3 wrong. So go on.
Yep. 1992, who do you have?
Odell Beckham, which is wrong.
Odell Beckham.
Is that right?
Right.
He's 31.
Odell Beckham, on the head.
That's like the one I guarantee is wrong.
Yes, you keep saying that. You were very certain.
I was very certain.
1993.
Right. We said Shailene.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson.
Okay.
Pete Davidson is 1993.
Which means that Kendall Jenner and Ty Sheridan are still in play.
94, who do you have there?
Ty Sheridan.
John Rahm. He's a lot younger than you thought.
So let's hope that we got Kendall Jenner right. Otherwise, we've got no more. So 95, right. Kendall Jenner.
1995 is Kendall Jenner.
Yes.
And 1996 is Ty Sheridan. So you guys got what? What is that? Five.
I think that's what we got last time.
I think that's more than you got last time, isn't it? I don't know. Chris and I did this. I think once where Thomas came up with the birthdays and we only got like 3.
So Ryan, 5 out of 10 is technically an F, but would you give us a D plus for Christmas?
If you just change one of the answers, then it's a C. So we'll just flop 2 of those. We'll knock it up to a 70.
Just flop them over. Yeah.
We'll just call that a C. We'll go on the, we'll go 90 and above as an A. Now down from there. You can figure it out.
Okay. You do the math.
For this Christmas special of the SSEU podcast, we have watched a Christmas movie. And for this special episode, we decided to go to some of our loyal listeners and ask for, I don't know, suggestions, advice on what we should watch. And we ended up settling on the movie, a very modern movie, called A Norwegian Holiday.
My Norwegian Holiday.
Which one of you want to start? Chris, what's the big boy plot of My Norwegian Holiday?
I don't think we can summarize this. I think we need to just jump into the scene by scene analysis because we just need to jump right in. We start with some very aggressive string music, very peppy, and music does a lot of the hard work in this movie as far as like letting you know, you know, when we're supposed to be happy, how we're supposed to feel. Like the music kind of sets the cue, and there's very like aggressive strings indicating like something magical might happen. And we're at a coffee shop and we see what appears to be a breakup, and a young brunette who smiles a lot is watching this breakup very, very creepily, might I add. And they call coffee for Jessica Johnson, to go order for Jessica Johnson. And we see the creepy girl who is staring at this man and woman try to go for the coffee. But instead, Jan from Ted Lasso, the Dutch dude.
No, sorry. Henrik. His name is Henrik.
Jan, the goalkeeper, intercepts the drink and hands it to the girl he's with. Even though they say Jessica Johnson, she takes one sip and is irate with him.
Like, you know, I only drink
chai latte, whatever.
I think she says chai tea.
And the barista is like, actually, this was for her. And we find out that there are 2 people.
2 Jessica Johnsons. He thinks that's kind of crazy. She's like, don't be a weirdo. It's not weird that like 2 people in the same coffee shop at the same time had the same exact name in order to
at the same
drinks.
Time
that happens all the time.
That's why she goes by JJ.
JJ.
In Minnesota, apparently.
Are they in the Twin Cities? Are they in Duluth?
They're in the Twin Cities.
They're in the Twin... Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because we go to the University of Minnesota shortly after.
How many Jessica Johnsons can there be in the Twin Cities?
Apparently many, because she says there was two in her third grade class and kindergarten, and that's why she goes by JJ.
She remembers her kindergarten class, so that's cool. And then he goes outside. So what we think is a breakup happens, even though they trick us. We find out later on it's not a breakup.
And like, he's just getting like roasted by this chick, and he just takes it. Like, basically, he's like, yeah, I am a bad person. Like, it, you know.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing in the scene to indicate that they are anything other than girlfriend, boyfriend.
There's not.
And that he's anything other than a crap hole. Yeah. He goes outside to talk to JJ.
And she, for some reason, she throws all her shit on the ground in front of him and then
blames it on him.
And then says it's his fault. So I don't understand the exchange where he's like holding a cup of coffee and she thinks, you know, she must think, oh, if I'm going to receive something else, I immediately have to throw everything I'm holding onto the ground to take that, to take whatever it is you're holding.
And they're tests. She's a school teacher, and at least for now, she's a school teacher in this scene. And all these tests are like scattered around. And she is not in the least concerned at gathering them all up.
No, she's not.
Because she leaves at least one, if not many, behind. Right. And goes to work. And she's
basically picks up the ones that she could reach, like at, that are just stay at her feet. Those other kids, fuck them kids.
So she's scene three, she's in her classroom. Apparently there's not a lot of work going on. She's like, I have to go to work. But then she goes to work and there's no kids there. She's just chilling in her classroom and she spooks easily, Ryan. Like
she thinks she's working in like a CIA skiff where, like, you know, no one can go in there without some kind of like security letting them by. And they would clearly alert her before somebody else comes in.
Do you think that she, you know, when the students walk into the room, is she like, don't do that to me? Because Jan walks in and she's just like jumps 3 feet in the air. And then she's like, are you stalking me? This is, and you could tell it's a Hallmark movie. It's a Hallmark Christmas movie. So we know there's going to be a romance, but of course the pretext for the romance, of course, is that she's like, are you stalking me? Like, how did you know I was here? And then he explains I'm not a complete moron. Like, you may have seen the breakup, but like there's only one school that's like a block from the shop, and I know your name, Jessica Johnson, and you know, like, it's not that, it doesn't take a genius
to... He's not a complete moron. Okay, that's fair, but he's some sort of moron.
Well, clearly.
And also, like, we learn that we don't know what he does, but we do know that he's in Minnesota because he's recovering from a leg injury. And I'm just guessing that they don't have leg doctors anywhere in Norway. Like, it's just, you have a leg injury in Norway, the doctor just gets the saw out and just is like, well, time to amputate.
And at this point is, so she's saying you're a stalker. And at this point, does she kind of suspect he's a jewel thief or like an international?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what she says, at least.
Yeah. He comes back with three gifts. He brings her a coffee.
Like the wise men. The wise men, they all brought three gifts, right?
Yeah, but he jokingly says that he's not wise.
Yeah.
That ain't no lie.
He brings her coffee.
Because, you know, she spilled the one, his supposed girlfriend sipped out of the other. And
she took a sip of it and spit it all over the place.
So, you know, this, she actually hasn't had any coffee yet, even though, like, when the second one spills, she's like, I don't have time for this, I gotta go to school. And she's, you know, at school, not working, just chilling. Like, I don't know why she had to go, but he's like, I have a lemon poppy seed muffin for you. And Thomas, she's really appreciative of that, right?
No, she seems really like, I'm going to have this on my face all day.
Black things in my teeth all day.
Black things in her teeth. Thanks. Gee, thanks for the okay, poppy seeds.
And what's the third gift?
Apparently only one test, even though like 17 are unaccounted for. He brings her one. And apparently he looked at some of the wrong answers and was like, you know, if you flip this to a negative, his answer then would what? Be if the and question were different, he would have the right answer.
And so Wyatt would get a C. And so he wants to get Wyatt a C.
For Christmas.
For Christmas. Change his D to a C. And she says, well, the D was a gift. But then she decides to just change it anyway and says, C, Merry Christmas.
This random dude off the street suddenly thinks that, oh, well, I am capable of grading papers and essays and whatever. And I'm going to tell this teacher what she's going to give in a grade.
Yeah.
What? And then she does.
What?
And she does. She does. The next thing, which is totally insane, is he freaks out because what does she have on the desk?
A troll.
He loves trolls. She's got a wooden carved and painted troll. He's like, hey, you have a troll and it's from Bergen.
Yeah. Why did he pick up on the fact that it is from Bergen?
Because of the Bergen bond.
It's because of the hat. It has to be from my hometown.
Look at the hat. And she's like, oh, it was my grandma's. And he's like, does she like Norway? She's like, I don't know.
She ever went.
I don't think she ever went. But I have this creepy troll on my desk.
Classical story of American girl meets foreign boy. Foreign boy is exotic and sort of interesting. Invites he's the girl.
Tall and walks with a limp, you know.
Right.
Tales all this time.
Right, a foreign boy invites girl to come stay with him for Christmas for 2 weeks.
Just come fly with me. Your name's the same as the girl.
She happens to have a ticket in her name already.
The first thing she says is, I can't pick up and go to Norway. And he's like, why not? Do you like? It's not like you have anything going on in your life here. I don't know why he assumes that, but she's kind of like, you know what? You're right. But still, yeah, I have no life. I have no plans. Like, I've... Nobody.
Well, she's going to have dinner with her professor and that's it.
So, but her argument is like, I can't pick up and go to Norway. And he's like, well, you can. Her argument isn't like, I've just met you. It's just.
that seems weird. What would I do when I got there?
He's like, I'll sleep the whole time on the airplane. Yeah, don't worry about it. And I'm like, that actually makes it a little bit more creepy somehow.
Yeah, it's not like.
He's like, look, like, I need someone named Jessica Johnson next to me while I sleep. I'm like, that's it's
yeah. I mean, her main objection isn't this one pervert after knowing me for 10 minutes just invited me on a plane.
This that's limping not- pervert who we just watched get eviscerated by a person who seemed like his girlfriend. All of his flaws are given to us. The next scene.
So they split, and he gives her this offer of going on the flight with him, and
he says, if you know, like, meet me on the Empire State Building on New Year's Eve, if you want to go.
And then what does she do?
Next scene, we are at the University of Minnesota, where she is meeting with a professor of, it must be fate, because he's a scientist, but he believes in fate. Somehow they're talking about fate. And he is literally the worst doctoral advisor in the world.
She's already told him about the ticket to the free ticket to Norway. Because he's already at the beginning of the conversation kind of like annoyed that she's not taking it.
And I guess like at the University of Minnesota, you're not a TA as a graduate student. You're required to substitute teach in like it's in like high school or middle school or something. It's very strange. All this time, she's got two extensions and you're like, it's like a three strike kind of law. You're not allowed to get a third extension on your dissertation. That's how it works.
Although
that's
he has given third extensions in the past.
He's like, you know, I gave you the extension to care for your grandma when she was sick. And then I gave you another one when she died. How could I possibly give you a third? Not only am I not giving you another extension, it's due in, you know, in 2 weeks. But I'll tell you what, I will give you an extension if you go to Norway, but you still have to do, like, I don't know. It's still expected that she completes it by the time she gets back somehow, right? Like, the only condition.
She's, like, having to work on it while she's there.
Yeah. And it's it makes it seem like a dissertation is something you'd do in a couple weeks. Like, yeah.
So how long is the extension? Just like a few days?
She's like, it's a virgin birth kind of scenario. Like, her dad is not mentioned once.
Not at all. And her mom's dead.
Her mom's dead. She died when she was young, and her grandma raised her. Dad, it's a virgin birth, man. Yeah, it's a Christmas. It's a Christmas movie, so it makes sense. Christmas.
Right. All right. So, really, the thing that makes her go to Norway over, like, for 2 weeks or Christmas is the pressure from her PhD advisor. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Who apparently would love to go to Norway, but he has just too many kids.
Too many kids. He can't go.
And she makes a call from Norway home, and he's like got like 2 minutes of like quiet time in the morning, and then suddenly like the kids wake up. He's like, oh, all 17 of my children are now awake.
Fucking shit. Usually I have between 6 and 6:30 to jack off, but now you've wasted that time, and now the children are awake.
She flies to Norway. We don't see any of the plane ride, which is, I don't know, 8 hours, but because he is asleep for all of it, we don't get to see any of it. And they land in Norway. And when they land in Norway, it's like, why did I buy all of this wine?
She's carrying his. Why do we get? He's like, alcohol is very expensive. This is, you know, this had a whiff of truth about it, Thomas. Alcohol is very expensive in Scandinavia. And I have learned, you know, that you like get on boats just for free alcohol. Like,
Yes, we do.
You just like drive around in the Baltic Sea just so you can have cheap liquor, because it's very expensive in Sweden and in Norway as well.
And what about those Christmas sodas? Those have alcohol in them? Because it seemed like they were taking them like they were shots, but they were calling them soda.
What happens when she's going to catch a taxi?
There's some product placement. Like, this movie is basically an advertisement for public transportation, wouldn't you say? Like, so we get like a paragraph on the glories of Norwegian trains.
That's true. She's
like, oh, there's my cab. There's my ride. As in, like, it seemed like she arranged it, and she just like is convinced and walks away. Doesn't say, oh, never mind. She's just like, so all right.
She must still get charged for it.
if it's an Uber, probably.
Or the guy's just screwed.
Her Uber rating is
I drove all the way out here. The American woman didn't show up. I think that's her over there just walking off like she doesn't see me.
Because like the whole time he's kind of promised her, like, you're not going to see me. It's going to be fine. Like, I'll sleep the whole time, but it's a free ticket. You should just go to Norway. And he gives her zero opportunity to actually be on her own. He's like, don't take the cab. They'll kill you and wear your skin. Come on the public transportation. And this, Thomas, I love this. Like, there's a lot of things that seem inaccurate, like the whole PhD thing. But then when we're talking about the duty-free wine, she's from Minnesota. She gets on the train and looks at the person across from her and says, hi, how are you? And the person just gets up and leaves.
Gets up and walks away. Yeah. And he says, oh, yeah, don't talk to anybody. Norwegians don't want to talk to people that they don't know.
I thought they're supposed to be friendly. And he's like, they are, but don't talk to strangers. Like, don't. Like, Thomas, we know Thomas will, like, if he's going to enter the building at the same time as one of his neighbors, if he sees him walking down the street, he'll, like, do another lap around the block just to avoid, like, being in the hallway at the same time. Like, you do not talk to other people.
The thing on the tram isn't like it's not really her interaction, but it's the fact that he has noticed someone else who is,
she's like, that dude like is staring at you, he wants to kill you, and he does look like I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah. And he says, oh, just don't worry about that's no big deal.
Don't worry about the guy who's gonna kill me.
He does know me, he does want to kill me, but it's fine.
And again, he continues his lie of I'll leave you alone by inviting her to some stupid kid event. And like, I already hate Norwegians at this point. And the fact that, like, how does she, like, why would you want to go to like a little kid singing like off key? Like, his sister's kid sucks. And like, but he's like, she's the best. You have to come
see it. She's the best. You have to come see it. No thanks. I don't need to. These kids that I don't know, I don't need to go see these shit kids
singing off key.
Seeing how long is this going to be? An hour? Great.
And she goes and watches him sing off key. And then afterwards, now I don't like her because she lies and says it's great. So now I hate both of them.
And now
she's like, she's so talented.
It's too late to go to the Viking Hotel or whatever because it's uphill both ways.
I guess the power goes out.
You know,
he's like, I'm gonna leave you alone, but also
the toilets will just spray diarrhea in your face.
Everyone has a foot fetish in this movie because like multiple people are staring at her feet when she takes her shoes off.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what? In which scene?
Multiple scenes.
Multiple people. Yeah, they look at her feet. Like she takes her shoes off. The sister, what Henrik does. Then the grandmother makes her these special socks that she's like not ever allowed to take off.
Can I put these socks on you? Can you make an old lady happy? Can I put these socks on you?
Did we check? Is Quentin Tarantino like?
I don't think he produced this Hallmark movie.
Except the next day, she masters the Norwegian delicacy of hotel waffle makers.
She walks down and she's very sad that she wasn't able to help with breakfast. And then she gets to eat a Norwegian delicacy.
Brown cheese.
Brown
cheese. It's an acquired taste, Thomas.
Yes, and it looks like it sounds. Her expression is what you expect brown cheese might taste like.
And then are they like, gooey. What are you doing today? And she's like, she brought the troll with her. Her whole life, she's just like kept it around, but wasn't really interested or concerned about its provenance. Now, like she's
now,
obsessed.
Like, now, finding, yes.
Like
well, since I am, since I have to, since I am going to go there, I like might as well make my entire life's mission to find out who made this troll, why my grandmother had it. And she just starts taking it around to shops like, oh, this 50-year-old troll in this brand new shopping center. Sure. Let me look at it.
Who made this? Ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
I don't know how Hallmark movies work. What is the point?
Well, she went there to get the extension. And then while she's there,
the extension.
It's where did this troll come from?
Right, but that wasn't the main point of the first half hour of the movie. Like, no one gave a shit about the troll.
She never managed to talk to her grandma about it while her grandma was alive. But now that she's not able to ask her grandma, she wishes she had. Or, you know, she's just bored as shit and needed something.
Like, what else is there to do in Bergen? Walk around with a troll like, hey, do you know where this came from?
Did you make this?
It's like that or eating brown cheese. Those are the two things you're allowed to do.
And then they're like, oh, well, it must have been an amateur that carved this because it's not very good. And they didn't sign it.
Well, this looks like a pile of shit. So, like, and clearly, then, like,
but
this
then,
is not
then
made
someone
by a
professional. Else is like, oh, well, they did sign it. They left, like, these initials on it or something.
Which she tells the grandma, but will... And grandma knows right away, but doesn't tell her because she's a jerk. But meanwhile, we find out because everybody's staring at Jan and just like angry at him and wants to kill him. And then you see some youths
bumping
him
into
a quitter.
Him, like,
quitter. Quitter. And
right.
So we find out why everyone.
Why is everyone angry at him?
Because he's an Olympic skier and
not
he,
flat skiing. Hates flat skiing.
A little redemption there for him. Why do they hate him? Because he was a really good skier, and then
he
lost control.
130
kilometers per hour.
Kilometers per hour, which
how fast?
Yeah. There's no way to figure out.
Faster than flat skiing, I'm sure. He lost control, and like he totally just effed up like his whole body. Took two years of PT.
His leg is just never gotten back.
He's still limping. It's been 2 years.
He still has the limp. Even though his sister says that the limp is in his head.
He doesn't limp when you're around.
This is maybe the cheesiest line in the entire freaking movie.
What, that he doesn't limp when Jessica Johnson is around?
Yeah.
So is he actually injured? So is he just a quitter and he's been faking this? Like every doctor has been telling him, like, look, stop limping. Stop limping. There's nothing wrong with your leg. Stop.
Turns out Jessica Johnson at the beginning was his physical therapist because Minnesota is the only state that offers physical therapy. So he had to go to Minnesota for 2 years, work out with her. And she was essentially saying, like, you're faking it.
Yes.
Like, you're a loser.
But now it's become like JJ is there for him. And so he is somehow healing on the inside, I think is a phrase used somewhere in the movie.
That's what the sister says when she says that he doesn't limp around you. I think he's finally healing on the inside.
Right. Still, I don't quite understand how any of this makes him a quitter. Like how like almost dying in a ski crash.
Yeah.
Right.
How dare you?
But apparently no one's mad at him either. Like it's because his teammates are also the groomsmen of his brother-in-law. Like
so maybe it's all in his head. Maybe this is like an M. Night Shyamalan kind of like movie where he's experiencing multiple identities.
Like everybody's trying to be like, hey man, are you okay? And he's taking that as like, you fucking quitter piece of shit. Because he's afraid to see his coach.
He hasn't talked to him since the injury, right?
And he's like, I can't believe you're still coaching. What do you mean you can't believe he's still coaching? That's his job. He's an Olympic level coach. You thought like, oh, well, because you're not doing it anymore, I quit coaching. I was walking around a bit. So is her grandpa, was he also the coach? Because I'm not going to say that all you guys look the same, but.
That's the twist, Ryan.
Yeah, this is the same person, yes.
Okay. And the grandma knows, but she doesn't tell her. She wants her to find out. The grandma sends her and the troll to the coach, right? And she asks, and he is very slow to understand that, like, how biology works. Because, like,
right? He's like,
at first,
are you my granddaughter?
No, he's like, yeah, I banged your grandma. And then, yeah, it was in this year before she left, and then like
my mom was born a year later.
Wait, does that mean that you're my granddaughter?
Yeah,
that was, like the first thing was like, oh wow, you know, this was the troll that I made.
I can't believe she kept this.
So terrible that I shouldn't ever do it again. But yeah, I can't believe she kept this. She left for reasons. I'm just amazed at how like neither of them are like mind blown on the whole like you're my grandpa. Oh my god, you know.
Oh, and you're his like, coach, and I get a free ticket from this. You're the coach of the weird pervert who gave me a free ticket. It's almost like he was sent there to find her,
and then he
found the wrong Jessica Johnson for 2 years.
But we totally like they bury this grandfather granddaughter thing for like 25 minutes while suddenly it focuses back on the wedding.
And she's like, oh, should I wear? She's like afraid of cultural appropriation of wearing a traditional Norwegian dress. And she's like, I don't want it to seem like I'm suddenly Norwegian. And the grandma's like, maybe you are suddenly Norwegian. Remember that guy? We already figured out that guy's your grandfather. And she's like, oh, I see what you're saying. Like, they wouldn't be fucking talking about that, like, every minute. Like, you fucking believe this? Like, you know, we're almost related.
So they have a wedding. Henrik's sister has a wedding, whatever. And he fast forward. And then afterwards,
a weird old man does the trimming.
They go outside to watch the Northern Lights, which, you know, for the record, you cannot predict on the minute when the Northern Lights are going to appear. It doesn't work like that.
You could find yourself drunk and getting up in the middle of the night in your aunt and uncle's cabin in Alaska and having to run out to the outhouse, freaking the fuck out when you see the Northern Lights for the first time. Because that's the first time I saw the Northern Lights, as I was really drunk. And I was at my aunt and uncle's cabin on the Kenai River, and they didn't have indoor plumbing in this cabin. And so I had to go outside.
They didn't let you make yellow snow. Like you had to go.
There was no snow. It was summer. And just like scrambling outside and then just getting outside and being like, what the fuck is that? And then remembering, oh, yeah, the Northern Lights are a thing.
And they become a couple because the Northern Lights are so wonderful and yada, yada, yada. I have a few questions. Number one is, and I think that...
Why did he do that limp running to her when he found out that like that guy was her grandpa or whatever? Why was she so sad? I don't know.
These kind of Hallmark movies, why are they so popular?
They make them because there's a market, because people...
What is it about these movies that they like?
Okay. So I have a similar question. And it's funny that we are answering it because we're not fans of these movies. We should have had Jason Cooper on to ask this question. Because my question is, what do you need for a successful Hallmark movie?
You need you need a main character, most often a woman, in some sort of distress.
Not too deep of distress, though. Like the most serious of conflicts are pretty minor usually.
And you don't want them to be sad.
No,
but they have some sort of issue, some sort of problem, and they go throughout the movie and they resolve it, preferably by finding a partner.
So you need romantic love. But very chaste.
Yeah, we don't want to see any full penetration or anything like that.
Yeah. What else do we need, Ryan?
Good limp actor. You got to get a good limp coach. Don't limp with the wrong leg.
Exactly. You got to stay consistent.
And you got to be able to run limp. He must have been like, I've been practicing this. I've been practicing my running while limping. So I need a scene where I get to go to a full sprint from limp walking to limp running. That's the only reason I can imagine that that's in there, because otherwise it just looks really stupid.
So would you say this is a hallmark of Hallmark Christmas movies, is the fake lib?
The fake lib, yes, that is a hallmark.
So I've got aggressive music on my list. The music does all... So like when she walks out with the dress, suddenly the music rises, so we know like this is an emotional moment. And then when he... sees her in the dress, that's another like, oh, okay. And then when the bride walks out with her dress, like right in a row, like no one's feeling any emotion, but the music tells you.
Like this shit, they changed clothes.
I think aggressive smiles as well. Like I said, there can't be too much sadness. And this JJ girl has a smile plastered on her face. I think it has to be a certain smile, and the main character probably has to be smiling, at least the female lead. To be smiling probably like 70% of the time, just this big toothy
there has
grin.
To be the sense that there are like essentially no one else in the universe barely outside of our characters, and you can and this gets us there when he's like talking to his coach and he's just like, I can't believe you're still coaching. And he's like, yeah, I can't believe I'm coaching and not coaching you. It's just like one guy retires and a coach is just like, that's my career. Like I coached that one guy and now I'm done. No more skiing. Do they still do skiing? Are they still having the Olympics? Oh my gosh. I can't believe
it. I think they canceled it after Henrik got hurt. Okay. So here's my next thing. Something you need for a successful Hallmark movie. Callbacks. So it's an acquired taste. How many times did we hear that? So we started with the cheese.
The grandma says that about him.
Yes.
The love interest.
And then starts going down on Henrik at the end, and he's like, it's an acquired taste.
I can't remember all the callbacks, but love, the discussion of like which the three types of love. So Americans, like, we love cheese. We love brown cheese. We love our children. We love
Taylor Swift.
We love, but they're like, we use the same word for a lot of different things. Where in Norway, there are three different kinds of love, and we talk about it multiple times, and then finally at the end, one of them's like, "I love you," and they're like, "Well, which one?" Like, well, the third one, you know. The let's go behind that ski hut there. And
this is the point where even I started to think that this episode is going off the rails, and it has already gone on for way too long. I'm just going to cut it here, and then I'm going to dump the rest on Patreon, where we have a special guest joining us to chat about Hallmark movies. Here's the outro, and you will find the rest on Patreon, safely locked away behind a paywall.